families own the tanneries, and they helped out. But to see the conditions, you know, it would be child abuse. I sometimes think that the several generations of PBD kids who worked in the tanneries, going to school or otherwise, probably the most valuable lesson, because you'd sit there after working several hours in the heat and the tough conditions and say to yourself, man, I'm going to hit those books. I'm going to do something else. On the other side, I certainly have to say it. A lot of these guys, when I look back, they were really heroes. They showed up. They put in their 12 hours under terrible conditions. They did it for 30 years, and they did it. Unlike today, people complain if the air conditioner is out for 2 minutes. They did it under tough circumstances to feed their families. And their families, in many, many cases, went on and became the professionals. And that was always one of the laments in the leather industry, was the fact that, you know, it moved out. And part of the reason it moved out was the owners and their sons and daughters moved on into better things. And that the capital investment was not put back in. And one of the killers to the leather industry, of course, was concerned with the environmental laws, and rightly so, and rightly so. PBD, being an old tannery town, has an awful lot of brownfields, and it's the result of, not that people intentionally did things, they didn't know better. I always talk, and I probably shouldn't say this on tape, I read the Civil Action, the company in Woburn, and how when they found out where the wells were polluted was because of dumping of finishes and chemicals and everything else. And I personally say, you know, I was 14 years old working part-time, and they'd say, gee, go out in the back and dump that 3 inches of lacquer. You'd roll the barrel out in the back and you dump it. You know, it was not an uncommon practice. Today, you wouldn't see me dump a piece of paper on the street. So the world changed. Knowledge. Matter of fact, that was the one of the things that people would comment. Years ago, the North River was all colors. And, you know, we always talk about the flooding in Peabody and everything flows through Salem. A lot of that came from the tanneries in Peabody, people taking the finishes and putting it in the water. So, wow, look at those pretty colors. So,
and the smell?
Very noticeable. I can remember distinctly having a friend come to Peabody and saying to me one time on Foster Street, what is that god-awful smell? And I looked at him and said, that smell feeds my family. You know, absolutely. That was the important thing. It provided jobs for a lot of new people coming in, and gave them a good quality of life. Hard work, but it fed their families.
Well, let's talk about those people that were coming in when you were growing up. What was the makeup of your neighborhood? What was the makeup of Peabody?
Well, I lived on, again, in South Peabody on Linfield Street, and it was a mix in the neighborhood. Italians, and my next door neighbor on both sides were Russians, surprisingly enough. Big Irish population. And again, no one knew the difference. And of course, in those days, you were allowed to tell ethnic jokes and, you know, you'd insult each other. But, you know, you go play football, and it would never took any consideration. We had certain segments of town. You know, for example, Walnut Street was great town. And then a newer group coming in with the Portuguese, and they were strange because they played this game called soccer that no one could quite figure out. You know, and today it's the sport in a major sport in the city of Peabody. So it was a you know, a real good mix, and kids don't know the difference. Parents sometimes, or older people, should take a page out of the kids. It's all they're interested in, who can hit the ball the farthest, or run the fastest, or things of that nature at that age. So I had a good childhood in the sense that a lot of mixed, and we were all welcome.